Amen. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Take your Bibles and turn to Numbers 14. I have an urgent message today because time is running out. The title of the message is The Time Is Now. And you know, you don't get to live this life but once. We better live it to the best. Amen. Let's all stand together in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. Numbers 14, 1 through 4. You got your Bible? Say amen.
Amen.
Got you. Hey, that's a lot of amens. Praise the Lord. All right. Now let's follow this. We're reading Numbers 14, 1 through 5. It says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain. Let us return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel." Father, we fall on our face to you today and we cry, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We believe that we are nearer that day that Tina just sung about than ever before. This is the year of the Lord. This indeed could be the day that our Lord returns. And God, the question is, are we ready? Because time is running out. I pray, God, for your oil of anointing to be upon this place for both the hearer and the speaker, for without you, neither one of us can do anything. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you. May be seated. I read about these two drunks. They were walking down, they were walking up this steep railroad. And they were together walking up. And one drunk said, you know, this is the highest stairs I've ever walked up. I've never walked up stairs. It seems like it's never ending. The other drunk looked at him too, talking about the stairs. He said, man, it's these stair rails. I'm having a hard time reaching down and grabbing. They're so low. You ever seen stair rails this low? You know, it's a matter of the way you look at things. Now, if you're drunk, you might look at things differently, hadn't you? You might think walking down a railroad track is walking up a set of stairs. A lot of times people get mixed up because they don't know where they are and they don't know what they're doing. And it's sad that you would go through life without a purpose, without a plan. And a lot of people do. They miss opportunities. That's what we're going to talk about today. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:16, one of my favorite verses, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That word redeeming means make the most of the time that you have. You remember the rope illustration? Any of y'all remember that? I brought a long rope one day to church. Y'all don't remember that? You do? Okay, Rich, you asked for the rope. You still have it. If I need it, I get to borrow it since I paid for it. All right, so I bought this rope. Rich took it. But anyway, and my point was the rope would represent life. On the end of the rope, about that far, I put red tape. That was your lifespan. The rest of the rope is eternity. And we don't think about eternity. We live only for the present instead of eternity. Fact is, you're going to live for eternity somewhere. Amen. You're going to be somewhere for all eternity. But I will say this, what you do now will determine your eternal destiny. Now, I can't sing, and sometimes, you know, putting a video up of a singer can mess things up, because especially if the person has a really good voice and all, you'll get caught up in the voice and not hear the words. Don't you hear these words of this song? The title of the song is the title of my sermon, The Time Is Now. We close our eyes and wonder how much longer the earth can hold the tears of all of its children. We wonder what became of Eden. While we live in the garden, we have grown, but there will be hope when we finally understand we were never meant to make it on our own. The time is now to hear the call from the Father of creation comes an answer for us all. The time is here, the time for you. If you seek, then you will find him. And the moment that you do, sealing your heart with a sacred vow, the time is now. We look ahead and try to face the future, but find we have no heart for this tomorrow. There is a vision that is brighter. And if we will believe, it's not too late, for every decision becomes a designation. And today, we face a choice that cannot wait. The time is now to hear the call. From the Father of creation comes an answer for us all. The time is here, the time for you. If you seek, then you will find him. And the moment that you do, seal your heart with a sacred vow. Now's the time, today is the day, now's the time. We cannot delay. This is the moment, this is the place for the mercy and the power, the love and the grace. The time is now to hear the call. From the Father of creation comes an answer for us all. The time is here, the time for you. If you seek, then you will find it. And the moment that you do, seal your heart with a sacred vow. The time is now, the time is now. Now is the time, today is the day. Now is the time, and we cannot delay. Now is the time. Well, I've said that enough to say this. What are we waiting on? I mean, if you're going to do something, you need to do it now. Because look up here, church. Tomorrow's going to be too late. Do you know tomorrow's always too late? Yeah, tomorrow never comes because then it'll be today, right? Think about it today. What is it today that you could do to make a difference? You know what? There's one person here today that could do something that could bring revival to this church. It don't take but one person to light a fire that unites hearts together. God could do something here today if you would be willing to be that person to say, the time is now for me to go make that wrong right. The time is now for me to go to that person and say, I'm sorry. The time is now to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Church, tomorrow, it's going to be too late. Are y'all listening to me? It's going to be too late. Henry Blackaby, in his book, Experiencing God, said it best. Look where God is at work and then join him. Timing is everything. You can easily miss God. That's what the children of Israel did in verse 12, I believe it is. Verse 12 of chapter 14. Here's what the word of God says. I will smite them with pestilence, disinherit them. This is God. And I will make of thee a greater nation, mightier than they. In other words, the children of Israel missed God. And God said, I'll let the whole group of people die out and I'll raise up a whole new generation. You say, well, that was the children of Israel. Well, what has that got to do with us now? Look up here, folks, everything. The wilderness, listen, is symbolic. It represents defeated Christian living, and most Christians live defeated lives. In fact, we can't give God our attention right now. We get so distracted by this world, and we got so many cares on our life that we are defeated in living a victorious life because we're wandering around in a cesspool called the wilderness. That's what I call it, a place of chaos, a cesspool of going around and around and around and around and around, and then you die, and that's it. That's what the children of Israel did. I just described it. They walked around the wilderness for 40 years and they did nothing. God had promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. And here's what the promised land is, church. This is for you now. The promised land means victorious Christian living. We're not talking about heaven. No, no. We're talking about right now. The time is now. If you're going to live for God, then live for God. If you're going to live for the devil, then live for the devil. Make up your mind. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Make a covenant with someone and make it sacred. I did that with a man years ago. I did, an accountability partner. I didn't know I was going to say this. He said, Preacher Ronnie, and this man still alive and I love him dearly and I look up to him as a father. He said, if we ever steal any money, let's don't play around with just a few dollars and robbing a store or something. Man, let's go to Fort Knox. If you're going to go to hell for it, let's do it big time. Let's steal all the money we can. And me and him agreed on that. We did. And then we agreed on this. If we ever cheated on our wife, and you're going to go to hell anyhow for doing it, then let's do it big time. Let's get the most beautiful, the perfect woman. I haven't seen her yet, but the knockout. I mean, the woman that would just cause you to turn your head all the way around. If he said it, this was a deacon. He said, if you're going to go to hell anyhow, let's do it in style. If you're going to live for the devil, do it big time. But if you're going to live for God, do it big time. Amen. Don't straddle the fence. Straddling the fence is where you mess up. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And that's basically what God was trying to say to Israel. Make up your mind. If you're going to serve me, then I've got a promised land for you. But if you're not going to serve me, then just die. And a lot of Christians are choosing that route to go. Here's my points. Number one, we miss God when we're too frightened to go forward. Notice in verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice. They cried and the people wept that night. By the way, it's funny when you miss God how miserable you get the feeling. Boy, you don't want to miss God. God's working here today or you wouldn't be here. He's chosen you for such a time as this. I love this verse, 2 Timothy 1:7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Here's my point under number one. Fear consumes focus. Fear consumed their focus. In Numbers 13:33, it says, they saw themselves as grasshoppers. We seem to define life in terms of what we fear. The children of Israel, they had to be Baptists because they sent a committee in. They sent 12 spies into the promised land. Now God had told them, this is where you go, this is my promise. But oh no, they messed up. They sent some spies in. You don't spy out. By the way, you don't vote on what God's already told you to do. Amen? Amen. The children of Israel they didn't go into the promised land. They sent 12 spies. And the spies came back, like most Baptists do, with a negative report. Yeah? Oh, yeah, we are a negative people. We are. You know why? Can I tell it like it is? Because we don't want to do nothing. We want to sit back in our seat of comfort. And I mean, what is it going to take to get us out of our seat? Hello? Anybody out there? We are in a comfort zone. We let fear overcome. And we focus on fear rather than God. The more they talked about the grasshoppers, the biggest the grasshoppers got. They were giants in the land, they said. But they were nothing but little grasshoppers compared to God. Instead of talking about how big their God was, they got to talking about how big the giants were. And there's no giant in your life today, 2019, that's bigger than your God. Amen. Amen. Outlook, look under number A there. Outlook determines outcome. Say that with me. Outlook determines outcome. You got the new year in front of you, 2019. If you're going into this year with fear and thoughts of failure, guess where you'll be at the end of this year? Fear and failure. That's where you're going to be. But if you will just get the right perspective, I mean, the two drunks, they thought they were walking up a stairway. And one was saying, man, this stair rail is sure is short. It's how you look at things. Outlook determines outcome. And I want you to think about our church for a moment, because I had this put up on the screen for a reason. Your church can choose to stop any place it decides. It is seldom an issue of potential, but of attitude and vision that determines what people do. Do I hear an amen? Amen? You see, we can decide in our life at any point, I will not be moved. I will stop here. I had a man tell me that years ago. He said, Pastor, you've really helped me grow in the Lord. He said, I have really grown in the Lord, and I'm at the place God wants me to be. No, he won't. No, if you think you've arrived, you're not there. Amen? And I turned that thing around and said, brother, I haven't helped you. Because discipling a person, I'm still a disciple. We're all disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. So a church can choose to stop any place it decides. It's a settlement, an issue of the potential. I've heard people say, well, we just got a little church and we have limited resources. Well, we've got a God who is unlimited, and he has unlimited resources. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And he owns the heels too. But we stop because we only think about what we can do, not what God can do. It's rarely that it's an issue of potential, but of attitude and vision determines what people do. And then the next thing is this, is of course, attitude determines action. Apathy and lethargy are problems that often afflict the people of God. I was trying to think of a word, afflict. It afflicts us. Many churches exist, but with little zeal, no passion, no purpose, no progress. They get nowhere because they don't want to get anywhere. There are a lot of people like that. They've settled for a settle for life. God help me. I decided I'm going to go forward with my life. What about you? Yeah. Folks, I'm telling you, I don't believe that this life is just that little piece of red tape on the end of that rope. Paul said, we're here today and gone tomorrow. Life is but a vapor. I'm thinking of eternity. And by the way, look up here. You will be judged, Christian. You sure will. For what you've done with Jesus in this little span, and that will result for all eternity. We're thinking so much about this little space of time, but what about eternity? And then fear controlled feelings. Fear controlled feelings. In verse 1, all these people were crying. They were weeping all night. How easy it is to get feelings hurt. God said, I don't focus on your feelings. I want you focused on faith. The children of Israel knew that the land was promised, but they saw an obstacle and they let the giants hurt their feelings. Yeah, they did, because that's all they focused on. Well, there are giants in that land and they could overcome us. And we focus on our fear. We focus on the obstacles in our way. Many times the fear of getting our feelings hurt will keep us from doing anything for God. Just know that Satan is the author of fear and many times feelings. Feelings can mess you up. They can. That's our flesh, right? We're not to walk by fear. We're to walk by faith. We're not to walk by feelings. The day was one of them. I may not feel like coming to church, but I didn't come based on my feelings. I came based on my faith. I mean, hey, that bed was warm this morning. It was cold and it was rainy outside and I just didn't really care to come myself like some of these others. But you know what? I didn't come based on my feelings. Thank God. And I'm glad I came. All right. And then fear conquered their faith. Fear conquers faith. God had delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, bondage, led them by pillar of day, pillar of fire by night. They led them by pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. He fed them manna. He gave them water out of a rock. He promised to keep his word, and the children of Israel allowed fear to conquer their faith. Is not the Lord God Jehovah greater than your fear of the giants in the land? In many instances in our life, the future looks frightening. The decisions are hard. We forget that God is with us. The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? In contemplating the future, a job or any major decision, fear overcomes our faith. Marriage may not work out. The job is more trouble than it's worth. Well, I'll wait till the kids grow up. Or, well, I'll wait till I get married. Or, well, I'll wait to make a decision and all my bills get paid. Well, I'll wait until somebody can go with me. Well, I'll wait until time gets better. Well, I'll wait till tomorrow. I'll wait till the weekend. I'll wait till my birthday. I'll wait till there's vacation time. I'll wait till there's retirement. Well, I'll wait until I get more money. Well, I'll wait till I have more time. Friend, you keep waiting and you will fall into that well. Well, well, well. And boy, I tell you, we get all messed up in that well. Second of all, we miss God when we forget what Egypt was like. They forgot what Egypt. You know, it's a serious thing to forget. This table down here is to remind us. It's written, it's engraved in the wood, this do in remembrance of me, because Jesus knew we would be prone to forget. It's an important thing not to forget things. I heard about this man. He purchased a really nice, intelligent horse from a preacher. And the preacher explained to him, now this horse understands. He's got a brain and you've got to communicate with him. And so you've got to say, praise the Lord. And if you say it more than once, he'll get going faster. And you say, praise the Lord, and get going faster. Well, the man forgot. And then he said, if you want the horse to stop, you've got to say, hallelujah. And the man forgot. He gets on the horse and he says, "Giddy up." Horse don't move. Kicks him in the side. Horse won't move. He said, "What did that preacher say?" "Oh, praise the Lord." Well, sure enough, the horse started going. He said, "Well, praise the Lord." And the horse really started going. He said, "Praise the Lord." And I mean, he ran to a trot. Well, he was running so fast, he was running right to a cliff. And then the preacher thought, "Oh my, what's the word? What? I forgot. Stop. Whoa. Hold on, horse." Then he thought of the word hallelujah. And about that time, the horse stopped right on the edge of the cliff. The man wiped the sweat off his brow and he said, "Praise the Lord." Man, you better remember what you're supposed to do, amen? You better remember where you're supposed to be, because timing is everything, right? I mean, it really is. Think about 2019. Where were you being this time? The man tried to get the horse to go, but he wouldn't go without praising the Lord. Maybe that's what you and I need to do. We need to praise the Lord more. Amen. Give him the glory. The tragedy is that Israel forgot what Egypt was like. They forgot who God is in his mighty works and all that he did right in their midst. Egypt was a place of agonizing slavery for the Jews and cruelty of man's inhumanity to man. The Hebrew people suffered tremendously there. God heard their cry of suffering and sent Moses to lead them out. And one of life's greatest tragedies occurs when someone dies at 30 and is buried at 60. Much like the school teacher who applied for a new job. Her resume indicated 20 years experience. When the principal checked her references, one former boss, another principal's assessment was, "Oh, she doesn't have 20 years experience. She has only 1 year experience 20 times. When a person ceases to grow and learn and dream and progress, something inside them dies regardless of their age. You could die at 30 and not get buried till you're 60. And then there's people that don't get buried till they're 90 or 100 or so, and they lived a full life. Don't you love people like that? I love people that live a full, meaningful life. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people die. The people perish. If you plan to get nowhere, you won't. If you fail the plan, you plan to fail. It's about time. Not only tragedy, we miss God when we forget what Egypt was like because of the time. They said it's time to turn back in verse 4. Did you see that? "Let us go back. Let us return to Egypt." It's time for us. We've gone too far now. It's time to go. Here you are. You're right on the perimeter of the promises of God, the very blessings. I mean, you're about to step in to all that God's promised. A land flowing with milk and honey, all the blessings of God, and you say it's time to go back. The responsibility of freedom was just too great for Israel. Often you will hear someone talk about the good old days. Life does not depend upon the time we live in, but the faith we live by. The time is now. Things in life won't get better until you get better. Don't put your happiness on hold. Today is the best day for new beginnings. As Paul said, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things that are before, I press to the high calling." And church, we have a high calling in Christ Jesus. "For such a time as this," Esther 4:14 says. And then trouble. There's a lot of people in trouble today. The people wept, they murmured against Moses and Aaron. Negativity breeds negativity. I mean, you know what? Satan's always got somebody saying something to rob someone else of their joy. And oh my, have I experienced that over and over again. But I have to remind myself, the Bible says no man can take your joy. You can give it away. You know, my joy is in Jesus. Where is your joy? If we keep our eyes and focus on him, because you know what? He pulled us out of the trouble we were in. We were in our sin, but Jesus died on that cross and he rose again and he came to get us out of trouble. And yet we get ourselves in trouble over and over again. Anyone can talk about how it can't be done. God will judge those, the Bible says. You want some references? Well, you look right here, chapter 14, verse 11. Verse 12, verse 29 through 35 was God's judgment on Israel. God judges those who are negative and complain. We most often defeat ourselves with our own tongue. I've heard people say, well, I'm not a yes man. Well, you best be a yes man when it comes to the things of God, because God can say no to you. When God tells you to do something, you need to say, yes, Lord, your servant's listening. Amen? You say, well, I'm not going to be a yes man. When it comes to God, you best be, because God's always right and you're not. And God can tell you no. I personally think of a lot of churches out there that ought to come together today. I like it when churches come together. So I've got a great idea for churches coming together. I think there ought to be a church that comes together and purchases one huge big baby crib instead of a church building. And they put all the wimpy, whiny, weeping, worrying, grumbling, critical, complaining children of God in one place. And then they get themselves a backslidden, lily-livered, liberal preacher who can burp them, change their diapers, and feed them nice words of positive thinking. You know, I'll never be that guy. I have a hard time smiling. No, God hadn't called me to smile. I'm going to smile because I've got joy in my heart, but God's called me to preach the truth, and sometimes it hurts. And I wish to God sometimes that God would just get a church over here somewhere where all the wimpy, whining, complaining, griping, negative people could be, and then the people who want to serve God can go on and serve God. But every church, and I've been doing this for 42 years I've been in, has always got somebody who's saying, well, we ain't never done it that way before, and those are the seven last words of a dying church. Friend, God wants to do something fresh and new in your life in 2019. Look up here, or you wouldn't be living it. You'd already be gone. But God's got you here for such a time as this. Don't get in trouble with God. We miss God when we forget what Egypt in the past was like. Don't live in the past. You can't relive the past, and you can't live the future. It's not here. Just live one day at a time. Amen? Last, and I'm done. We miss God when we don't have the commitment to go forward. Now, I know that word commitment is that's getting to be a curse word in the Baptist church or any church. People just don't like commitment. I heard about this. I told this story about, you remember the story about the chicken and the pig? The chicken felt sorry for this farm family. They were walking by, and this family didn't have no food. They were just poor as dirt. And the chicken said, I'll tell you what, pig, I'll furnish the eggs if you furnish the ham. The pig looked at the chicken and said, you stupid chicken. For you, it's just a contribution. For me, it's a total commitment. See, nobody wants to make a total commitment. But the Bible says, if you're willing to lose your life for my sake, then you'll find it. A lot of people are trying to figure out life. They're trying to find out life. But if you'll learn to die to yourself, if you'll learn to get yourself out of the way, God will step up and he'll be your God instead of you being your God. He will, but we make ourselves our own God because, you know, this was something that we dealt with the other week, Eric and I did, and we questioned ourselves about this. Why do we hold on to ourselves thinking somehow that we've got it figured out better than God does? And Eric asked, he said, why don't we just turn loose, Ronnie, and let God be God? Why is it that we can't turn? I'll tell you why, because we want to be in control. We don't want to move out of our seats. We like our comfort zones. We don't want to go forward. We want to stay as we are and die. And guess what? Look up here, church. I'm almost done, believe it or not. And you will miss God. You will. Because the children of Israel, a whole generation of people missed God because they didn't have the commitment to go forward. Number one, there's a price to be paid. I love this scripture. Daniel said in 2 Samuel 24:24, profound words. Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offering unto the Lord my God of that which cost me nothing. You know, it's funny how it is when it comes to the work of God, we want something for nothing. We want to give God the leftovers, and we want to think God's going to bless that. God will never bless leftovers. God says from Genesis to Revelation, I'm to be number one. Am I preaching it like it is, y'all? If you've read God's word, God says, I get the best of the flock. I get the best. God will never settle for second best. How about your life in 2019? Are you giving God your second best? Or are you giving God your very best? God, only you and God know that, right? So the question is, are you willing to pay the price? I love what David said. The Israelites didn't take the promised land because they didn't want to pay the price. It would not be an easy task. It would mean work and difficulty and danger. They didn't want that. They wanted God to deliver them from slavery. They wanted God to provide for them in the wilderness. They wanted God to give them a promised land as long as He had already cleared the way. You see, God will do a great work among His people, but it must be under His purpose and under His plan. And look at this, folks. God wants us. He wants us committed to Him. What God wants is a surrendered life, and then what God will do through that surrendered life is totally amazing. It really is. And the only reason we don't see, oftentimes we say, I don't get nothing out of church. Church is dead as a doornail. I'll tell you why. Because we're not willing to pay the price. Most people won't even say a prayer for the service, less more prepare themselves for worship or anything else. We're not willing to pay the price to experience God. It must be your life given and your commitment shown. Listen to God's word, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Oh, God will bless his people. Did God promise this land for this generation? Yes, he did. Did that generation take the promised land? No. You know, I predict this, and I'm going to ask Jacob, where is Jacob? I'll lose it. There he is. I'm going to ask him to come up here in a little bit, and I want his daddy to lay hands on him, along with any of our military guys and our deacons, because this is his last Sunday with us, and he's going into the Air Force. Hopefully, he's a lot smarter than his daddy, and he won't jump out of the good plane, okay? Do you jump out of plane, son?
Not yet.
Not yet. I've never figured out why would you want to jump out of a good plane. But anyway, here's the thing. There's a price. By the way, talking about a price to be paid. Boy, you're really, now, I'll tell you, I got a lot of respect for these guys because jumping out of a plane, that's total commitment. I mean, you don't have 100% guarantee, do you, that parachute's going to open. So boy, I must have some great men of faith here. How many of you have jumped out of an airplane? Wow, great day. Well, I'm preaching to the choir. There's got to be faith here.
Amen.
Amen. Check it. Don't you do what they said. I mean, don't you judge. You learn to fly in that plane, son. He'll probably jump out of the plane like his daddy did. There is a price to be paid when it comes to commitment. By the way, I didn't plan to say this, but thank God for those who are willing to pay the price for our freedom. Amen. A price to be paid. There's a prayer to be prayed. It says in verse 5, and I'm almost done, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Throughout the life of Moses, when he fell on his face, something happened. I said, throughout his life, when he fell on his face, something happened.
Amen.
If we would pray like we talk about things to each other, things would start happening. Most churches talk things to death. If they would pray things through, it would bring life. I didn't get many amens, just one. But I'll tell you this, if we would pray like we talk in committees, instead of, I'll never forget a deacon's meeting I had many years ago, and an old deacon came into the deacon's meeting. Now, I mean, old, this guy was in his 80s or 90s, and he said, you know, late 80s, Mr. Billy Tice, he said, guys, I just feel led that we, instead of ending with prayer, we start with prayer tonight. And we started with prayer, and we prayed about an hour and a half, no junk. We got up. Every man had prayed. It was about 10 of us. And we all looked at each other, and this is what we said. And you're talking about life? We said, we got all the answers that we came here wondering we needed. And we never discussed anything with each other, but we all walked away with the answer. Prayer works! And that's the call of God. But you know what we do? Yeah. We go around in circles like the children of Israel in the promised land. We'll talk something to death, and we'll go around in circles and circles and circles. And finally we think, well, you know, we hadn't heard God speak. You know why? We hadn't been listening. Prayer is a dialogue. You talk to God, you ask him, and then you stop and you say, all right, God, you gave me two of these. I'm listening. Prayer works because God says it works. And God steals here and answers prayer. He really does. Last thing, promise to be possessed. A promise to be possessed. Caleb stilled the people in chapter 13 of verse 30. Here's what he said. Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and he said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Because Caleb and Joshua believed God, they were allowed to enter the promised land. Because Noah believed God to the saving of his house from the flood that destroyed the earth, he and his house was saved. Because Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness, and God used him to found the nation of Israel. He was the father of the nation of Israel. Because his wife Sarah believed God and delivered a child way past age of childbearing, because she judged him, the Bible says, faithful who had promised. Because Samson believed God and received great strength, even to the stopping of the mouths of lions. Because Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego believed God in the fiery furnace, not a hair on their head was singed, even though the fire was 7 times hotter. Because Peter believed God, he walked on water to get to Jesus. Because a blind, a lame, and a dead man believe God, they were made whole. You can believe God and receive what God has, or you can doubt and you'll do without. Because I believe God and his promise that I confess with my sin, confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says I will be saved. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." And one of my favorite verses is 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some man counts slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." It's God's will for someone to get saved here today. I want you to look at this last scripture. It's 2 Corinthians 6:2. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." I'm going to ask you to bow your head with me. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. What will it take today for you to get out of your seat, our comfort zone? What are you waiting for? For the Lord's return? Then it's going to be too late to be saved and too late to serve the Lord, church. Will we miss God in 2019? Will we miss God in 2019 as a church? The answer is yes, if we keep doing the same things over and over again, expecting a different result. Obedience. Listen, every head bowed, every eyes closed. I want you to think about this word as we come into this invitation. Obedience is the key to the promised land. Let me say it again. Obedience, not listening to spies, not listening to committees, but listening to God. God said, go into the promised land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's called victorious Christian living. Obedience is the key to the promised land. Why? Because God had promised it. The time is now to make a wrong right, because tomorrow never comes. If you keep putting it off, let me tell you what's going to happen. Your heart's going to get harder and harder and harder, and you'll never, ever make the wrong right. If you need to go to someone this morning, do it now. The time is now. If not now, when? Tomorrow again, it's going to be too late. Father, time's running out. In fact, there's not a person here that's living on a long span of time. We're living on a very short span of time. And the older we get, the shorter it gets. God, help us to do it now, whatever you're calling us to do. I believe if we obey you, the promised land is right here. If there's someone that don't know you as Savior and Lord today, I pray that they would read that scripture again in their heart. Today is the day. Now is the time for salvation. May someone come to accept Christ today. God, all we got to do is be willing to say, okay, God, I give you my life. I surrender my life. I am surrendered to you. May someone do that today. What you would do with a life surrendered. This is your invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together.